from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White.
People aren't inspecting chicken cacciatore being like, you know what? Hold on.
You don't look at the meat you're
you
about
do,
to be like, you know, this
but
is a little funky.
But you're not trying to discern. It's like, is that cantaloupe? Right? That looks like it might be cantaloupe.
And Joe DiBiase.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't
yep.
pick up a quarter.
Nope.
On Western New York sports giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All true. All true. Still won't pick up a quarter. Even though I was mildly convinced that I probably should.
When's the last time you were in a situation to pick up a coin?
I was going to say, that also... I'm not really looking down at my feet when I'm walking. So, yeah, noticing one in the first place... I would imagine this is one of the consequences of the tapping society with your phone or however you're paying these days. Is how often are there coins on the ground? It can't be as much. It can't be as much as it used to be.
I've found probably like 7 coins on tee boxes at golf courses this year. Like pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters.
On tee boxes?
Yeah.
Not like on greens where like...
Nope.
Someone might be marking their ball with a coin?
Nope, on a tee box.
On a tee box, there were coins.
It's like not
Who's
like a
leaving
group.
Coins on a tee box.
Not like a group of coins, but like there was like one on like hole 6, and then like the next time I played on like hole 10 at this other course, there was like a nickel, and I was like, "What's happening?
This wasn't the same day."
Nope, it was all
not just
different.
Someone with loose pockets that's walking around the course ahead of you and just dropping coins on the tee boxes when he swings.
Nope. And they were all, like, behind the tee box, like, in the back of it, where you wouldn't be swinging, like, where people are just kind of standing there hanging out.
Very strange.
Yeah.
I bet that's a complete coincidence.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What would be the reason? Why would you pull a coin out on the tee box? I could see why you would do it on the green if you didn't have a ball marker and you were using coins as a ball marker. That also... No, you know what? Never mind. If you're the guy that uses the coin to mark your ball, what? No problem. No problem at all. You don't see it done, though, as often anymore. You just don't see coins as often anymore.
Everyone's just got the like little poker chips or the...
See, the poker chips, though, like those kind of... Those stick out of the ground.
Right.
Most of them. Like, those are... If you're using a ball marker, the ball marker's got to be flat. Right? Like, you might laugh at the little cheap... little 10-cent ones you get 10 for 10 cents, the little plastic things with the little, you know, pole in the middle, and then that goes down into the ground, and then that's as flat as it gets. Isn't that the goal of the ball marker? Well, there's two goals of the ball marker. One is remember where your ball was, however you get to that. And then two is if the ball behind it happens to hit it, that it's not going to severely or drastically impact where the ball's going. Those poker chips you throw out there, I mean, that's gonna cut the speed of the ball in half, I think.
I mean, a lot of those poker chips, too, now come with a little coin in the middle of them, like a magnetic one.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then you just like,
I have
like,
a couple of those.
You like flip it out and put that on the ground, and the
and
poker
those are
chip's
fine.
More of just like a...
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, like it's a knick-knack, I
it's,
guess.
Or it's to keep track of it, right? It's easier to
right,
not lose
true.
It.
You can get the ones for your hat, too, where they like it's like
yeah.
a clip.
Yeah, yeah. Is golf on the 4th of July a regular thing for people, by the way? Like, it's not ever a part of my plan, but courses are open, right? Or am I wrong on that? I think courses are open. I'm sure it's a pretty big golf day, I'd imagine. So everyone's off, right? So tomorrow is looking pretty good. We're looking warm, although I did just see a tweet from the National Weather Service in Buffalo. This is more for today, that thunderstorms will begin late this afternoon and evening. Upper 80s for temperatures, less storms though on the 4th, but it will still be very warm and very humid. So a lot of people will be outside tomorrow, and it's looking like it could have been a lot worse. Earlier in the week, it was looking like a lot of rain, and that might be more so today and not as much tomorrow. I will be standing waist deep in Lake Erie. That's with a drink in my hand, and that will be my day. So
just like our forefathers intended.
Exactly.
Having a great time.
Yes, exactly.
In the middle of the lake.
With, you know, the red, white, and blue, what are those, the popsicles? The firecracker popsicles?
Bomb pops,
yes. Although, are they officially called bomb pops? Because why, they're firecrackers, aren't they? Or is that a different,
every time I've ever seen them, it says bomb pop on the box.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there might be like another offshoot called firecrackers or whatever, but I've never seen that.
Okay, I think bomb. There's two forms. Bomb Pop is one brand's name, and then the popsicle brand name is firecracker. So you've got those, right? Exactly as our forefathers intended, though.
I would have thought the popsicle one was called, like the popsicle brand one was called Bomb Pop.
No, that one appears to be called firecracker. Bomb Pop looks like it's its own thing. At least that's how it looks in the picture that I'm looking at right now. Anyways, it's Jinky Joe DiBiase. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will be in again today at 8 o'clock. We'll have Matt Beauvais along the way as well. It's 6.07 p.m., more than 24 hours after the U.S. lost to Uruguay. Greg Berhalter still has his job.
I continued the tradition for you yesterday. I did the it is 1:54 or whatever the time was.
And
Greg
he still
Berhalter
had his job.
Still has his job, yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Where's the firing? Where is the firing? Everyone calling for it. I mean, I saw Alexi Lawless, who we won't spend all day on this, I promise. Alexi Lawless, who is, of course, on every like soccer broadcast for Fox, very active on Twitter also. He was one of the biggest Greg Berhalter defenders ever, and he ripped into him the last 24 hours and is calling for his firing. So I just don't know. What are we waiting for? This should be an easy one. What we might be waiting for is the guy's brother works for the U.S. Soccer Federation. And maybe he doesn't get fired because he has connections. Ah, the worst.
You know what? They're getting a package ready for Jurgen Klopp saying, hey, yep, here's what we want to give you. Please come coach our team.
I tweeted this yesterday. Give him a state. You know? Hey, Jurgen Klopp, former Liverpool manager, one of the best in the world. He's currently available after retiring from Liverpool, but not retiring from soccer fully. Go to him and say, you want, here, in the spirit of the 4th of July, actually, wait a minute. This would actually be the opposite of the spirit of the 4th of July, because what I'm trying to do right now is give a state to an Englishman, which I believe is the opposite of what happened on the 4th of July.
I think he's German.
Oh, right. No, he's German, right. Sorry.
So
he's lived. He's lived in England for, you know, the better part of 10 years.
That'll be fine then. He's not English. It's
all right. So we're going to give, right, but we're going to give on the anniversary of us declaring our independence from a powerful English European nation, we are going to give one of those states back to a powerful European man. Okay. But I like it. Give them Montana. Give them South Dakota. Give them how far do I want to go? Give them a 10 state no pick list. You can't have New York, you can't have California, you can't have Georgia or
Texas.
You can't give North him Carolina.
You can't give him a state that's larger than the country he's from or the country he lives
in. I don't know. European countries are smaller than you think. How many states are smaller than Germany?
Okay, how about the state?
Maybe a good amount.
How about
maybe
the country he lives in? Like
England?
England's pretty small compared to the United States, like the states.
He might only have like Rhode Island and Delaware to pick from at that point. You can have Rhode Island. You want Rhode Island? Come coach the U.S. team. You can have Rhode Island. It's all yours.
Vermont.
He doesn't get Hawaii.
Vermont's basically Germany. I mean, you got all the pine trees and the mountains and the snow.
Yeah. I need that syrup though for my pancakes.
That's okay.
And whatnot.
You can just buy Jurgen Klopp syrup. Like,
yeah, I buy it from him.
You Klopp branded syrup.
Klopp syrup. Yeah. He. I mean, I would be over the moon. You want to know what would really derail this show and make me talk more soccer than everybody wants to? Would be if Jurgen Klopp becomes the U.S. manager. I think I'd have to go for 10 hours. This would be like sports thunder. So the sports thunder that nobody ever asked for on this station would be if that guy ever becomes the United States' manager. It would. Oh, I can't even dream of it. But you know why I can't dream of it? Because they won't fire the guy that's currently in charge. At least 24 hours later. Anyways, we'll see if we can connect with Nick Mandola this week. We'll either try to get him on today or Friday. FC Buffalo, of course, but also NBC Soccer on the US and what the path forward is for them with a couple years to go to the World Cup. US got eliminated two nights ago. Copa America picks back up on Friday. Canada, with their American manager who made it through, they play. Anyways, we're more than a day now past free agency. The Sabres with a couple of minor moves yesterday. Nothing really all that crazy. James Reimer, 1 year, $1 million, gets brought into the fold. I agree with Paul on this one that I think what's most likely for Reimer is that he is going to be their third goaltender. That it's up to Devon Levi, show in training camp, show in preseason, that you're even a little bit ready. Just don't lose the job before the season. And Levi is going to be your number two, and Reimer is going to be starting in Rochester. And then you play it out from there. And, you know, I was thinking about Levi yesterday a little bit for this. The fact that even he's not solidified as the goaltender of choice for the Sabres coming into this year. Because we know what happened, right? He had the job at the beginning of last year. He started the first four games of last year. And it wasn't great. The fourth of those fourth games against Calgary was really bad. I was at that game. But as I remember, he got hurt late in the first period of that game. He played the rest of it and then missed a bunch of time after that. So he clearly was injured. And from there, they started Comrie a couple games and then finally got around to Luukkonen. And then that was all she wrote. And then it was Lukanen's job from then on. He never, ever gave it up. And I am really thinking about the goaltenders because that is the team they've built might really need great goaltending. The team they've built. And I want to get into, you know, some of the Adam's comments again today about, you know, how much do we really want to buy into players not wanting to play here as an excuse for the general manager? Because I don't think it should be a total, you know, oh, you get a total pass for this, but it also shouldn't be a zero for that. But before that, I was thinking about the goaltenders because they are really leaning into being tougher to play against, which, what does that really mean, by the way? What does, in essence, being tougher to play against mean? Because it's kind of a generalized statement. Like, oh, I want to be tougher to play against. Well, okay, that could mean a bunch of different things. That could mean that you're good and tougher to play against. That could mean I've played on just in, you know, recreational, the most recreational hockey leagues imaginable. I've played on teams where I actually remember one time in a handshake line where we were playing the best team. And we weren't very good. We weren't the worst, but we definitely weren't very good. Oh, like losing record for sure. And after playing the best team and probably losing by like 7, but we went hard. You know, our team was very much like, all right, even if we're going to lose, like, you know, part of it here is we're here to have fun and get some good exercise. So like we're going to skate hard the whole way through. So at the end of that, of one game in particular, I remember shaking hands with one of the guys in their team and him going, love playing you guys. You always give us a good skate. And think about what that means. Like, we were probably, in his eyes, like, oh, these guys are tough. Like, we're going to beat them every time, but they're going to make us work for it. You know, that was that recreational hockey team I played on was that. We're going to make you work for it. We're not going to score much, but we're going to make you work for it. And I was thinking about that when all of these Sabre moves were just flowing in, and it was very clear that is their intent. They want to be tougher to play against. That doesn't have to be synonymous, though, with good. It can be. It definitely can be. It's got to be in concert with the talent and the scoring and the skill and the speed. And Florida is, of course, going to be the example of the team that has married those things together so well that they've made the Stanley Cup Finals back-to-back years and have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in their history. But let's go to the extremes on both ends. The Islanders, for years, have been definitely seen as, oh, they are tough to play against. They're very tough. They are going to make you work. They are going to hammer you into the boards. They are going to be all over you on the forecheck. They're going to be fighting you in front of the net. You're going to have to be pushing them out of the way. Like, you are going to have to work to beat them. But you're often going to beat them. They're often not going to be any serious threat to go deep into the playoffs. And, you know, oftentimes they'll find their way to squeak into the playoffs. But if you look at the last 3 years, the Islanders have been very tough to play against. They haven't won a playoff round. They're more successful than the Sabres. I know that. They've made the playoffs. But they haven't won a round in the last 3 years. So that's one extreme of, okay, you are tough to play against, but I still think I'm going to beat you at the end of it. If I'm good, I think I'm going to beat you. Because you can make me work as hard as possible for the entire night. But if you can't score goals because you don't have any talent on your roster, then, yeah, you are tough to play against, and you're also not very good at the same time. That's the New York Islanders. You don't want to be that. You don't fully want to be that. And on the other end of the spectrum, the team that comes to mind for me, even though it's not, you know, this is the narrative about them, and it's somewhat true, I'm sure, but I don't think it's fully true, but I'll use them anyway. Toronto. Toronto would be the other end of the spectrum. They are seen as soft, their top players especially. They'll get that criticism levied against them all the time. Hey, you're too soft. You're not tough to play against. But what is also, before I derail myself, the Leafs win. The Leafs win. They won a round last year. They make the playoffs every single year. They always win near the most regular season games. Like the Islanders, You know, they'll go 40, what was the record last year? 39, 27, and 16. 39 wins out of 82 games. It's amazing they made it last year. 42 wins the year before that, 37 wins the year before that. The Leafs, meanwhile, are what? They're around 50, usually. 50 wins, like more than a dozen more. And are they tough to play against during the regular season? Would anybody call them that? Or are they just good? I don't mind them being tougher to play against here, but it's got to be married with the skill, and it's got to be married with the speed, and that is where my biggest concern is about them right now. I don't think I have to worry anymore about, hey, are you tougher to play against? Because, again, what does that mean? It means physicality. It means you're going to go to the dirty areas. You're going to go into the corners without any hesitation. You're going to go to the front of the net. You're going to score more goals in the dirty areas, right? But that can't be all of it. We all know it can't be all of it. We love a team that plays like that. Buffalo fans love the idolization of the Ted Nolan 97 Sabres, the toughest team in the NHL. Hardest working team in the NHL. Excuse me, butchered that. Hardest working team in the NHL. Idolized. That team is idolized. Maybe not to the same extent as 0506 or the 99 team, but I hear that team referenced all the time. And that team wasn't great. The team wasn't great, but they won their division and they won a round. They won 40 games. They actually lost 42, by the way. Think of that. That team might be the peak example in team history of tough to play against. Tougher to play against maybe than any team that they've ever had. And they lost more games than they won. Oh, wait, so hold on. Here's my young brain messing this up. I'm doing ties as overtime losses. So they did not lose 42 games. They won 40, they lost 30, and they had 12 ties. So there you go. But they won 40 games out of 82. They won less than half their games. Point remains. That's pretty wild. So I'm good with what they've done, but I am not good at all. And I am definitely concerned with, are they going to score enough goals? Because I don't know what to expect from almost anybody on their team from that front. Even Thompson. I think I have a baseline for Thompson. It's probably what we saw last year. Last year, Tage Thompson was hurt for a bunch of the season and definitely didn't look himself. And he scored 29 goals. In 71 games. A 32-goal pace. 31-goal pace. That feels like my floor for him. But what's my ceiling? What am I getting? Am I going to get the 45 goals from him? I mean, it's hugely important. And beyond him, I think I kind of have some expectation of what I'm getting from Tuck. Cousins, I have no idea. No idea what I'm getting from him goal-scoring-wise. Paterka, I feel great about. Quinn, I feel great about, but I'm not 100% sure because we just haven't seen it yet, right, because of the injury. But I don't know how you couldn't be optimistic. He led the Sabres in goals last year, actually. Jack Quinn did goals per 60 minutes. So I should feel confident there. And who else should I really feel confident in? How many guys do you feel confident are going to give them offense next year, are going to give them scoring? Thompson, Tuck, Paterka, Quinn. I don't even know if I want to say Cousins. I feel like they need Cousins, but I don't know that I want to say Cousins. He was so bad last year. In all areas. Creating, his puck carrying, getting set up was a brutal year for him. Defensively, I know that's not the point I'm making, but defensively, even on top of that, Cousins just had such a disappointing season. And I don't know what it was. That's the other thing. What was the explanation? Thompson, I think we pretty much know there was a back injury, there was a wrist injury. You know, maybe there was something else. Like, he was dealing with stuff all year. He was beat up all year long. And Cousins got knocked down in a fight earlier in the year. But do we want to say that his whole season was derailed by that? Maybe it was, but I don't think we know. I don't feel like we have a good idea of what happened there. So I don't even want to say Cousins for this. Darlene is right to point out, even though it's on the blue line. I don't trust them to score. I think being tougher to play against and being willing to play in the dirty areas, being willing to go to the front of the net and defend your teammates, right? Impose your will on other teams. And on top of that, be a stout defensive team from the forward position, even in your bottom six. I definitely think that was lacking last year. No doubt. But I don't think it was their biggest problem. Their biggest problem was they couldn't score goals when they needed to. They couldn't score on the power play. Offensively, they were not good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And am I supposed to just assume that with Lindy Ruff playing a more buttoned-up style than Don Granato did 2 years ago, probably by a lot, by the way. Granato let them play wide-open hockey. You want to make mistakes? That's fine. Just go score. Go outscore your mistakes. They played as wide-open as you could play 2 years ago. Am I to assume, do people expect them to go back to that? Do fans expect them to return to a top-five scoring team in the league, or even near that? Because they are not going to play, I don't think, nearly the same style of hockey that they played 2 years ago. And they are less talented offensively than they were 2 years ago. They do not have a replacement for Casey Mittelstadt, who 2 years ago, when they were third in the league in scoring, had 59 points for the team on the third line. 59 points. They don't have a guy for that, to replace that. They do not have a winger in the top six that can score 35 goals and 82 points, which is what Jeff Skinner did 2 years ago. I'm sorry, they might be able to replace Skinner's production from last year, but if you're trying to get them back offensively to where they were 2 years ago, that no one's doing that. You think, I mean, I'm hopeful about Zach Benson, too. You think he's just walking into the top six and having a point per game? He's going to score 35 goals? They haven't replaced that. And honestly, even Victor Olofsson, who I couldn't stand at times as a player, 2 years ago scored 28 goals playing 14 minutes a night. A role player. But he scored 28 goals. Who's doing that for them? Is Jason Zucker scoring 28 goals for them? Maybe. I mean, that'd be amazing if they could get that out of him. He didn't score 28, by the way, 2 years ago, playing 1,000 minutes with Evgeny Malkin. So, I would be stunned if he got to 28 goals for them this year. Is Kulik showing up and doing that? I don't think it's really right to expect that they're going to get near where they were 2 years ago offensively. The style doesn't say they're going to do that. Their moves don't say they're going to do that. And the guys they said goodbye to in the last couple of years don't say that they're going to do that. So, long story short, what I'm getting to here is I really think it's going to be their success this year is going to have a lot to do with their goaltending. Because it feels to me like they are designing a team to win games 3-2. And 2 years ago, they were trying to win 5-4. And they did do that a lot. But now I think they're trying to win 3-2, or they're trying to win 2-1. And for that, you're going to need a lot of saves. And Luukkonen doing what he did last year would be perfectly acceptable. Just give me exactly what you did last year. I don't want to assume that's going to happen, though. It could. And it probably will. Like, it's more probable than not. But goalies are very up and down in today's NHL. All of them. Fleury was the peak example of this. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. And go look at his numbers year by year. He was like a roller coaster. Jonathan Quick, roller coaster. Some all-time goalies were roller coaster guys. So Luukkonen kind of going up and down a little bit would not be new or unique in any way. Can I get him to stay level, stay consistent, and then Levi behind him, who's going to play, I think, a big chunk, 30, 35 games, I mean, we're talking more than a third of their season this year, is probably going to be with him in net. And I am very hopeful about that. I think they kind of need it, too. But he had a very good season. Honestly, for a 22-year-old goaltender, you really can't ask for much more. He was the best goalie in the AHL when he was down there. And I've pointed this out a couple of times, that his advanced numbers in the NHL were a lot better than his save percentage was, because his assignment, the amount of chances he saw, was so much higher than what Lukanen's were. Goals saved above expected per 60 minutes last year. Levi was 7th in the NHL. 7th. Just below Connor Hellebuck. And again, part of the reason why some of his above expected numbers are better is if you go kind of scroll over to some of the other numbers and you get to, like, what were the expected goals against Levi? 3.6 per game. Based on the chances he saw, he was expected to allow 3.6 goals per game. And he did not do that. He performed well above that. Well above that. So I think even if he's not the starter, which I don't assume or don't expect at all, I think Luukkonen is their starting goaltender, but their goalies, I think, are going to both have to perform at a very high level, because it appears they are not going to score that many goals. I don't think they're going to score a lot of goals. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, Ray, Ben, stay there. We'll get you right when we come back from the break. On the offseason, I want to get to Adams a little bit too. And is it acceptable at all to excuse some of his failures as they just can't get players to come here? Like, how much of that is an excuse that Adams should be able to use? Let me know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get your phone calls immediately when we come back on kind of the build of this team. And do you disagree with me on the goal scoring? Because I don't feel like they're going to return to what they were 2 years ago or even come close to that. Sneaky Joe DiBiase, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will be in at about 8 o'clock. We'll have Matt Bovee a little bit later on this morning as well here on WGR.
Days like this are tough for fans. Like, the fans think they know our players. I know our players better than our fans do. So I've got relationships with each of these guys. You have to respect their rights as unrestricted free agents. That's the collective bargaining agreement. We didn't trade these players. You know, we tried to retain them. We're not going to go into the weeds and what each contract negotiation was with each player. But we were not after huge hometown discounts or anything else like that. We made, I thought, real fair, reasonable offers. I think they would say the same. They had a chance to do something different.
That is Vegas GM Kelly McCrimmon pointing out the quote looked worse than how it sounded. Because the quote just read, the fans think they know about the players. I know more about the players than they do. You can get away with that easier when you've won the Stanley Cup in the last, 12 months. Victor Olofsson to Vegas. 1 year, just over $1 million. They lost a lot of pieces this summer, but they brought Olofsson in on a one-year deal. So he gets to hang around in the NHL. I wasn't sure that was going to happen. I thought he might have to go back to Sweden, but he gets a one-year contract. 803-0550 is the phone number. I've got a poll up. Where do you think the Sabres are going to rank in goals this year? Are we expecting a very defensive team? And in addition with that, a team that's going to struggle to score when they feel like they need to. They might not want to be a top five scoring team in the league. They might be perfectly okay with, hey, middle of the road, because we're going to be a lot tougher to play against. We're going to be better defensively. Our goalies are really good. So we don't need to score the fifth most in the league, the third most in the league. But I really question when they need to score, when they have to open things up, if they're going to have the horses to do it. Let's go to Ray on a cell. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Good take today. I'm thinking that you talk about the scoring. I think knowing Lindy Ruff and what I saw with him in Jersey and even Dallas, I think our defense is going to be a little better at producing. I think we're going to see a little bit more scoring out of them, especially now that you got Byram and what Lindy said during his press conference, talking about power play, that you need to circulate, you need to have motion and so forth. I remember Byram, his first game in Buffalo, he was kind of telling players, move around, skate around. He's pointing and stuff, and they weren't kind of staying still. And that kind of made our power play a little stale. So I expect him to have probably a breakout year now that he's coming in with full training camp and understanding. I'm thinking Power realized that he underproduced, and I think that's where you can get some scoring. And I expect Coolidge to be up there, and the reason I expect Coolidge to be your third line center is because now that you have Seth Appert, he knows what makes this kid go, and I think Zucker is going to help him.
Yeah,
he's going to help Coolidge on the defensive end, and make him the complete player. So I think you're going to see those type of things.
In
that situation. So I think that's where the scoring is going to come from.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Good call. On I forgot Appert being on the bench. I do wonder if that matters any differently to whether Kulik makes it or Savoy. Savoy would have been more limited time with him. Kulik as the third line center is a real idea. Like, I thought about Savoy for it, but Paul pointed out yesterday that Kulik, I mean, he's a center too. We did a lot of it at Rochester, and that job might be open to a prospect if one of them can grab hold of it and take it. So that would be nice. I mean, that would be a little bit of scoring punch in their bottom six, because that's another thing that's really lacking right now. I went through in the last segment, like, questionable, holes on your top six for getting guys to score. And in your bottom six right now, like, it's Zucker / Benson. Only one of them will be down there. And that guy probably will produce at least a little. And then can I trust Krebs too? After not reaching 20 points last year, can I trust Greenway too? Like, the guys they just signed aren't going to score much. So, yeah, one of the rookies showing up and doing it would be nice. We can expand on that a little bit more, though. Here's Ben in Lockport. What's up, Ben? Ben, you there? No, Ben? We'll come back to Ben. Maybe we'll try him again. Let's go to Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Joe, right again. I think you're right on point. Well, like I said yesterday, I hope Lindy can get him to play the trap because that's what the roster dictates. Your two best players are Dahlin and Tage. Maybe your third best player is Owen Power at this point, or your goaltender. So it looks like it's going to start from the back end, which is fine. But I still go back to imagine this roster less Bowen Byram and added Jeff Skinner and Casey Mittelstadt. You got a roster you can work with. The defense is still fine without Bowen Byram because now I got Lindy Ruff here and I'm not going to have forwards throwing boneheaded passes over the middle constantly getting intercepted.
Yep.
That's just where we are. And I have to ask this, and I want one of our pool reporters to ask Kevin Adams why Jeff Skinner's season of 84 points, 34 goals, and a plus 15 with two healthy line mates who are still on this team, why that wasn't good enough. I honestly believe he bought out Jeff Skinner because and told to or because he decided to because of the After the Whistle podcast. I truly, truly believe that. And I agree with what Rivet and Peters say have said over the years, but they have been wrong on Skinner for years. And I'll bet $1,000 against either one of them on whether or not Jeff Skinner will be in the playoffs this year and whether or not he'll score over 30 goals this year. Wonder if Craig or Andy want to take that bet.
Well, thanks, Paul, for the call. One, I do not believe that Adams made the decision based on that at all. Two, he did go to like the perfect landing spot for that. Yeah, it would be flooring if he didn't finally make the playoffs for the first time in his career because he's on the team that just was a goal away from the Stanley Cup or two goals away from winning the Stanley Cup. So he's going to go to the playoffs. And I did hear a comment from, what's the name of the Edmonton GM? It's not Ken Holland. Holland just retired. Something Jackson. Whoever. The Edmonton GM yesterday did a press conference, and he was talking about their signings, and they also signed Victor Arvidsson, and he mentioned that him and Skinner are both going to play in their top six. So I might guess that Skinner plays with Dreisaitl. Because Hyman on the left side with McDavid. I think Skinner's probably going to play with Dreisaitl.
Jeff Jackson,
thank you. Skinner playing with Dreisaitl is going to score 30 goals easily. That is, I don't want to do all in on like Skinner revisionist, but it's kind of fresh, and it's hard to see right now how they're replacing him. Even a declined him. And yeah, 2 years ago, Skinner, as I point out all the time, he is of if there's one criticism that is very fair of him, it is he is completely reliant on his center. He is completely reliant on his center to create plays for him, to playmake, to enter the zone with the puck, to generate the chances, and then him to clean it up, for him to be opportunistic, for him to finish. Call it a criticism of him. You could. You definitely could. We could talk about how bad he was defensively. He's not even a well-rounded, complete offensive player. But the thing he does well, he is great at. But the problem with that is he needs a top center to get that done. And, we will give Thompson a bit of a pass for the season he had because of injuries and only scoring 29 goals, only having 59 points, only 27 assists on the season for Thompson. But we recognize, it's because wrist, back, he was banged up all year. He didn't get right until like the final week of the season. Didn't look right until the final week of the season. Why can't that be extended to Skinner? I know it's not him being injured, but it's 10 years of evidence that he needs his center playing well to score big, to put up big points. So he only scores 24 goals last year. Okay, why can't I extend the excuse of, Thompson didn't do all of this big 47 goals again because he was injured all year. Why can't they extend it to Skinner? Why isn't it Skinner's numbers went down because his center was hurt all year? That's probably what happened. At least it's a chunk of what happened. At least what probably happened was his center was hurt. And I do think it's very weird right now that they bought him out and they had no plan, or maybe they had a plan and they just failed at it. They have no answer right now to who's playing in his spot. The whole reason that you get rid of Skinner was, well, you don't have a spot for him in the top six anymore. At the moment, I do. At the moment, he'd be better in that spot. He would be more productive in that spot. Even last year's version of Skinner, which we were all disappointed in, would be more productive in that spot. He scored 24 goals last year, which is only 3 lower than Zucker's year with Malkin 2 years ago that everybody thinks would, like, oh, we would sign up for that in a heartbeat. 803-0550 is the phone number. More of your phone calls on the Sabres when we come back here on WGR. Tomorrow is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But no Joey Chestnut. Did you see what Joey Chestnut's doing, though?
Is he doing, like, his own thing?
Not tomorrow. At least I don't think he's doing anything tomorrow. Yeah, where will he be tomorrow? He signed up for that Netflix eating contest with Kobayashi.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like, is that like a great rematch kind of thing?
Kind of, like? Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like their version of the match, maybe, like when Tiger played Phil. September 2nd. Yeah, they're going to go at it.
Is this his first 4th of July, like, that he doesn't have to work?
I think he's won,
like, forever.
Yeah. What? Very, very quickly. He has the last... Hasn't he won, like, 15 times in a row? Here we go. Joey Chestnut. It's all Joey Chestnut. He last did not win in 2015. And that was after 8 years of Joey Chestnut winning before that. So, since 2007, he's only not won one time. So, 16 of 17. Interesting. All right, new ball field, or new field of competitors. I will not be watching. Not my thing. All right, when we come back, Adams deserve a pass at all on any level for the players don't want to play here thing? How much are we buying that? Let me know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, Ben? We'll come back to Ben. Maybe we'll try him again. Let's go to Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Joe, right again. I think you're right on point. Well, like I said yesterday, I hope Lindy can get him to play the trap because that's what the roster dictates. Your two best players are Dahlin and Tage. Maybe your third best player is Owen Power at this point, or your goaltender. So, it looks like it's going to start from the back end, which is fine. But I still go back to imagine this roster, less Bowen Byram, and added Jeff Skinner and Casey Mittelstadt. You got a roster you can work with. My defense is still fine without Bowen Byram because now I got Lindy Ruff here, and I'm not going to have forwards throwing boneheaded passes over the middle constantly getting intercepted.
Yep.
That's just where we are. And I have to ask this, and I want one of our pool reporters to ask Kevin Adams why Jeff Skinner's season of 84 points, 34 goals, and a plus 15 with two healthy line mates who are still on this team, why that wasn't good enough. I honestly believe he bought out Jeff Skinner because and told to or because he decided to because of the After the Whistle podcast. I truly, truly believe that. And I agree with what Rivet and Peters say have said over the years, but they have been wrong on Skinner for years. And I'll bet $1,000 against either one of them on whether or not Jeff Skinner will be in the playoffs this year and whether or not he'll score over 30 goals this year. Wonder if Craig or Andy want to take that bet.
Well, thanks, Paul, for the call. One, I do not believe that Adams made the decision based on that at all. Two, he did go to like the perfect landing spot for that. Yeah, it would be flooring if he didn't finally make the playoffs for the first time in his career because he's on the team that just was a goal away from the Stanley Cup or two goals away from winning the Stanley Cup. So he's going to go to the playoffs. And I did hear a comment from, what's the name of the Edmonton GM? It's not Ken Holland. Holland just retired. Something Jackson. Whoever. The Edmonton GM yesterday did a press conference, and he was talking about their signings, and they also signed Victor Arvidsson, and he mentioned that him and Skinner are both going to play in their top six. So I might guess that Skinner plays with Dreisaitl. Because Hyman on the left side with McDavid. I think Skinner's probably going to play with Dreisaitl.
And Jeff Jackson,
Jackson, thank you. Skinner playing with Dreisaitl is going to score 30 goals easily. That is, I don't want to do all in on like Skinner revisionist, but it's kind of fresh, and it's hard to see right now how they're replacing him. Even a declined him. And yeah, 2 years ago, Skinner, as I point out all the time, he is, if there's one criticism that is very fair of him, it is he is completely reliant on his center. He is completely reliant on his center to create plays for him, to playmake, to enter the zone with the puck, to generate the chances, and then him to clean it up, for him to be opportunistic, for him to finish. Call it a criticism of him. You could. You definitely could. We could talk about how bad he was defensively. He's not even a well-rounded, complete offensive player. But the thing he does well, he is great at. But the problem with that is he needs a top center to get that done. And, we will give Thompson a bit of a pass for the season he had because of injuries and only scoring 29 goals, only having 59 points, only 27 assists on the season for Thompson. But we recognize, it's because wrist, back, he was banged up all year. He didn't get right until like the final week of the season. Didn't look right until the final week of the season. Why can't that be extended to Skinner? I know it's not him being injured, but it's 10 years of evidence that he needs his center playing well to score big, to put up big points. So he only scores 24 goals last year. Okay, why can't I extend the excuse of, Thompson didn't do all of this big 47 goals again because he was injured all year. Why can't I extend it to Skinner? Why isn't it Skinner's numbers went down because his center was hurt all year? That's probably what happened. At least it's a chunk of what happened. At least what probably happened was his center was hurt. And I do think it's very weird right now that they bought him out and they had no plan, or maybe they had a plan and they just failed at it. They have no answer right now to who's playing in his spot. The whole reason that you get rid of Skinner was, well, you don't have a spot for him in the top six anymore. At the moment, I do. At the moment, he'd be better in that spot. He would be more productive in that spot. Even last year's version of Skinner, which we were all disappointed in, would be more productive in that spot. He scored 24 goals last year, which is only 3 lower than Zucker's year with Malkin 2 years ago that everybody thinks would, like, oh, we would sign up for that in a heartbeat. 803-0550 is the phone number. More of your phone calls on the Sabres when we come back here on WGR. Tomorrow is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But no Joey Chestnut. Did you see what Joey Chestnut's doing, though?
Is he doing, like, his own thing?
Not tomorrow. At least I don't think he's doing anything tomorrow. Yeah, where will he be tomorrow? He signed up for that Netflix eating contest with Kobayashi.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like, is that like a great rematch kind of thing?
Or kinda, like? Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like their version of the match, maybe, like when Tiger played Phil. September 2nd. Yeah, they're going to go at it.
Is this his first 4th of July, like, that he doesn't have to work?
I think he's won,
like, forever.
Yeah. What? Very, very quickly. He has the last... Hasn't he won, like, 15 times in a row? Here we go. Joey Chestnut. It's all Joey Chestnut. He last did not win in 2015. And that was after 8 years of Joey Chestnut winning before that. So, since 2007, he's only not won one time. So, 16 of 17. Interesting. All right, new ball field, or new field of competitors. I will not be watching. Not my thing. All right, when we come back, Adams deserve a pass at all on any level for the players don't want to play here thing? How much are we buying that? Let me know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.